can, right?
Yeah.
I knew everything right away. I have a lot of your role play. You mind? You ready?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as always, I have wonderful news for you. How many people remember when I told you that I was at home over the summer and I went to a Presbyterian church? I remember they had that, I brought the program, and I read the program where you had to stand up and say, you know, that you're unworthy, but you're coming to God anyway, even though you're unworthy to have anything happen to you. And, of course, I did not stand up. Because I think that's absolutely ridiculous, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous that any religion would do that to anybody. And the other thing that absolutely always flabbergasts me is that, good evening, is that anyone would go to a church that made you say that you were unworthy. I mean, that I can understand. And then put money in the collection plate and the whole works to keep the whole institution going. But the reason why I bring that up is because the good news I have for you is this. What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. And that's what you have to remember, that you're made from God and that you are part of this whole thing. That you're made a little lower than God. In the Bible, it always mentions people as demigods. If you want to call yourself a demigod, you may call yourself a demigod. Now, where did this little thing come from that I'm reading, this wonderful 3x5 card that I have here? It comes from Psalms 8:4-5. Now, does any church bother to tell people that this is in there? I don't think so. We have been given so much information that is wrong. And we listen to people that are wrong. And we listen to institutions that are wrong. My next 3x5 card. We tend to live our lives within the limits of what we believe. More often than not, our beliefs come from what science, religion, and other people tell us. What if those beliefs are wrong? What if those beliefs are wrong? And we're learning daily that those beliefs are wrong. We're right back to the idea when people thought that the world was flat. And they accepted that because somebody said, oh, look, the world's flat. Oh, okay, the world's flat. Science is changing. Everything is changing. We have to learn to think for ourselves. And the good news is that you're able to do that. You are able to think for yourselves. You do not have to think the way any religion tells you to think. And any religion that tells you that you're unworthy, there's something wrong with that religion. That is not at all what religion is all about. This is a review of a book called What Peter Meant. I'm sorry, What Paul Meant. And I just outlined a few things here. Paul is the only identifiable individual among early Christian writers, since we have no real idea of who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John really were. We have no idea who those people were. Yet the church tells you that they know, and they have big statues to these people. And the person who did this is Gary Willis. Willis points out in rather devastating detail, for example, that Luke's account of Paul and his mission to the worldwide scattered Jewish community in the first century is historically implausible for all sorts of reasons. For all sorts of reasons. Some of the other things. Wills does a particular service by going right to the passages that have made Paul, have made the Paul we think we understand into a valid target for those troubled by sexism and explicit anti-Semitism. By insisting that only those letters Paul really wrote be considered. Only 7 of the 13 letters included in the Christian canon actually are his. The rest of the stuff that we think of Paul said, this, that, and the other thing about women and all, he didn't write any of that. He never wrote that. Somebody else wrote that. Willis disposes early the sexism charges, most of which derive from the letters of Timothy, which scholars now agree Paul did not write. You see what I'm saying here? We're believing constantly some authority, some church, something. And it's wrong. It's after they look at it, they discover, oh, look, we've been telling this stuff to people for centuries, and it's wrong. In his conclusion, Wills is at pains to summarize why he believes Paul has been so drastically misread, and what an authentic rereading undertaken in the light of accurate translations and modern scholarship might suggest to us. On the former point, he writes, the heart of the problem is this. Paul entered the bloodstream of Western civilization mainly through one artery, the vein carrying a consciousness of sin, of guilt, of tortured consciousness. This is the Paul we came to know through the brilliant self-examinations of Augustine and Luther. The profound writings of these men and their followers, with all their vast influence, amount to a mass misreading of Paul, to a historic misleading of the minds of people down through the centuries. Down through the centuries, have been given misinformation. That Wills avoids the pitfalls of... wait a minute, this is very good. Organized religion took over the legacy of Paul as it did that of Jesus because they both opposed it. Both Paul and Jesus opposed anything that wasn't loving. Anything that the church is saying Jesus and Paul had nothing to do with. They said that the worship of God is a matter of internal love, and not based on external observations or temples or churches, on hierarchy or priesthood. Both are at odds with those who impose the burdens of religion and punish those who try to escape them. They were radically different. They thought differently. They were for the poor. They never said all the stuff that the church is saying, all the things that we have learned. And this is what this teaching is all about, is to learn to think correctly, and especially correctly about yourselves. We have all been given misinformation since childhood, and we have been given misinformation by our parents. They did not mean to give that misinformation to us. Somebody gave it to them and they just passed it on to us. But we have to start to go through life. If you are not getting what you want out of life, you have to start questioning, where is my belief system and who gave this belief system to me? What am I really believing? What is really real in my life? Or am I just regurgitating what my parents, my school teachers, my college told me? Or am I really learning to think for myself? You see, the whole idea in life is to be able to radiate from you your own power, your own knowledge from within. You are supposed to be a sun, a light unto the world. But what has happened? Everyone is reflecting. Everyone is a moon. The moon has no light of its own. It only reflects light from the sun. And most people are moons. They are not reflecting any light of their own. Each and every one of us has a light inside of us. We have wisdom inside of us. We have knowledge inside of us. Because we have the mind of God inside of us. We have the life of God inside of us. And we are one with that life and with that mind. And we must learn to use that and use it the way we want to use it. When I tell you that you are an individualized expression of God, that is absolutely true. And you must become an individualized expression in this world and let your light shine the way you want it to shine, not imitating somebody else. If you're imitation of life, if you're imitating some other life, why are you here? You have wasted this precious time on this plane of action if you are only imitating somebody else. You are wasting your time. Don't do that. The world wants you to imitate. The world wants you to become like everybody else. Why do you think that corporations are taking over the world? Why do you think that corporations are taking over everything around you? So that whole towns are nothing but corporations. That all houses look alike. That everyone shops at the same places. That all merchandise is the same across the country. That you can might as well live in Peoria, Illinois, as Los Angeles. You have to become an individual. And you have to become an individualized expression of this thing that we call God. This thing that we call God is absolutely impersonable. But you make it personal by the way you're using it. And by the way you're thinking. So the whole idea in life and the good news in life is that you can do that. And you can change your mind and change your life. And you can change these belief systems. You can change anything by using your mind. And by not believing everything that comes down the pike. If science says this, this, and this, why do you want to believe it? I have a neighbor, 80 years old. Last year, in February, she fell in Yosemite on ice, broke her arms in many places and her leg in many places. She was stuck in Sacramento for I don't know how long. We finally got her to a convalescent home over in Silver Lake. They had pins in her legs. They did this, this, and this. She went through rehab. She had people there helping her. They never encouraged her, and they told her that she wouldn't be able to walk. That woman is not only walking up and down the steps. She lives above me. She walks up two flights of stairs. She's 80-some years old. She went. Her license expired while she was going through all this. She went and took her license, her test. She drove. For Thanksgiving, she drove herself down to San Diego to friends. Drove back. I saw her today. She's in absolutely. And you know what she told me? She said, Dallas, they never encouraged me. They never gave me any hope, the therapist, because they looked at me and said, well, at 80, you're not going to be able to do this. And she said, I'll be damned, I'm going to. And she made herself do it. And she's walking today. And then they said, you'll have to use a walker. She walks with no walker. No walker. And she said to me today, Milt, who she went to see, who's her age, he fell too and broke something after she did. And she said, he's taking little tiny steps. And she said to him, now that's all right. But each day you must take a little bit bigger step. And a little bit bigger step. And she said, you can do it. And you can do it. But you don't believe what science and doctors are telling you. All that stuff is out there. All that stuff is useful. All knowledge is useful. But it's not the end-all, be-all. In science, how many times has it changed over the years since you have known it? When I went to school, there was only one physics, Newtonian physics. That was physics. And now we have what? Quantum physics. We have the theory of chaos. And we have the string theory. But most people stopped at the Newtonian physics. And that is what's wrong sometimes with everybody. That's what's wrong with the medical profession, by the way, because they think that we are machines and they can repair us by taking one thing out or putting one thing in and doing this, that, and the other thing. We are completely interconnected. You cannot do that to yourself. We are not an automobile. We are not a machine. Every part of our body is interrelated and is working together. And you just can't do this kind of stuff to yourself. You can't do it. The body has a natural way of healing itself, and it has a specific way of healing itself. If you have a rash on your arm, the body knows exactly how to send an antihistamine to that area and to that area only, and it will take care of that rash for you. If you take a pill for that, the pill has to go through your whole body, and it is not specific. So now it has interrupted all the other processes in your body. Your body and your mind is the only mechanism that is specific. If you take a pill, it is never specific. It does not know to go to just that area. It has to go to all areas. And it will cure that. But why it's curing the rash on your arm, it's upsetting other things in your body. If you have to take pills, take them. I'm not saying not to take these things. What I am saying is, think for yourself. And don't allow a doctor to tell you you'll be dead in 3 weeks. He doesn't know that. Did I tell you what MD stands for? MD. I'm thinking. I know what it stands for. Ah, minor deity.
Yes. Or major.
That's what they think. They think it's major deity. It's a minor deity. What I am saying, and the good news that I'm saying, is that you have a mind and you have a body, and they are working together. And your mind and your body is connected. And it's connected with this thing in the universe that we call God. You may call it anything you wish. You may call it cosmic power. You may call it Harry, Henry, or James. It does not matter what you call it. But learn to use it. And learn to see yourselves as powerful. Learn to see yourself crowned with glory and honor and with power. Learn to use your power. Learn to use what you have. And that is a wonderful way to go through life. And it's a great way to go through life. August, will you quickly tell how you sent your spirit before you?
Two different things. I was working over at ABC, and it was very chaotic, and I sent my spirit before me, and I went in the next day, and it was as if I walked into a brand new place. I couldn't believe it. And then just today, and I've been doing this, And just today, I got a phone call from an agent that I don't even know. I have never booked any work through, it was through Central Casting, which is a background casting agency. Anyway, I have not done an after show probably since 1990. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call, and he said, August, he said, this is Hans. He said, I'm doing a brand new pilot, and I'd like to give you a feature role in this pilot. Let me know your hours if you can. We're going to be shooting over the weekend. And it was because what you had done. It really was because when you said what you had done, I went home and I was thinking that. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to really give this a try. And what I learned is you have to truly believe it. You have to truly believe it. And for those of you who have not seen The Secret, you have to absolutely watch this movie and watch it and then watch it 10 other times because you will learn something different every single time you watch it. It was just unbelievable how this can work.
And The Secret is there on the table to borrow and to pass around. So watch it and use that secret. We have been given so many things to make our lives successful. This thing that we call God, who created us and loves us so much, would not have created us and then plunked us down here on this planet and said, ha ha, now see what you can do. No. That is not the way it works. You came to this plane of action completely equipped with everything you need to succeed. The world wants to tell you that is not true, but it is true. Within you is everything you need. What you need to do is get the clutter out of your mind. What do I mean by the clutter that's in your mind? That little talk that you have which says, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough, I'm not intelligent enough, I'm not this, I'm not that. That's all bunk, people. Don't listen to your mind. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. The mind will drive you crazy if you listen to it. Learn to control your mind. That was last week. We learned to discipline our mind. You have to discipline your mind. And you have to be able to think what you want to think. And you have to open your eyes and see things differently around you. And say, my goodness, am I ever glad that I'm here on this plane of action. This is such a beautiful place. When I was a minister, I always wore a boutonniere. People would say, why do you wear that boutonniere all the time? Boutonniere is the flower. I wore that to remind myself that a world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. And look around at the beautiful flowers that we have. Now, if you want to go to a hostile environment, move to the moon. And try something there. Now you can complain that it's hostile. You cannot complain that this world is hostile. Everything is here waiting for us to have. We don't do it. Why? Because we don't think we're worthy, we don't think we're deserving, and we do not think that we're lovable. I am telling you, as I do every time, get those three things straight in your mind, and the world will come to you. Anytime that you're not getting what you want, look and see why you're holding that back from you. Because somebody told you a long time ago that you weren't worthy. Perhaps you went to one of those churches that made you stand up and say, I am unworthy, but I'm coming to you anyway. You are not unworthy, people. And you are totally deserving. and you are totally lovable. Let that sink in at a cellular level so that you're always reminded of that. So that your mind immediately says, well, I'm worthy. I can do this. I deserve this. You see? To sit and say, I'm one with God, and not love yourself, is a travesty. You can't do it. Love yourselves. I talked to a client today from Chicago. He's having a difficult time because he cannot believe that he's lovable. He cannot believe that he's lovable. And it's a hell of a way to go through life if you constantly think that you're not lovable, worthy, or deserving. It's not a nice way to go through life. Yet people go through life that way. And then they tell other people, life is a struggle. Life is this, that, and the other thing. Because they haven't found that worthiness and that love and that deservability within inside of them. And they can accomplish everything. You can have tons of money and so forth. And you hear that all the time. And you wonder, oh, those people have it all. But they're miserable. They commit suicide. They do all that stuff. Because they have never been able to convince themselves that they're lovable. And so many people are waiting around for somebody else to tell you that. If I waited around for somebody else to tell me that, I'd still be waiting. I tell myself that. That's the power that I have. I do my mirror work every morning. I never pass a mirror, and I have tons of mirrors, by the way. I never pass without saying, ha, you're wonderful. I tell myself that all the time. You have to do it. You have to do it. And you'll see all the difference in the world. Okay? So that's the good news.
Now?
Yes.
Until you love yourself, it doesn't matter what anyone else tells you because you don't believe it.
Yes. Yes.
So the first step has to do with you.
Yes.
Because people can tell you that all the time and you look that. You must be crazy.
You always, because it's always from within, and you have to feel that within. If somebody comes up and says to you, oh, you're good looking, oh, you're handsome, and you do not know that yourself, you think, oh, what a bunch of bull they are. They're full of it, aren't they? Because your mind will talk you right out of it every time. Your mind will talk you right out of it. That's why giving a compliment to somebody is so difficult for people to accept a compliment. Because they don't have it within themselves. Somebody gives me a compliment, I always say, oh, thank you for noticing. You look good today. Oh, thank you for noticing. Oh, no, I don't think so. You have to do it. And when you do that, things open up for you. And I think August, not only sending his spirit ahead of him, he's learning to like himself. He's learning to love himself. So things are opening for him. Who wants to hire somebody that doesn't like themselves? And you can't tell me that that's not projected. Anyone that's in business knows perfectly well when somebody comes for an interview, you can tell if they like themselves or not. And if they don't like themselves, you don't give them the job. That's a going back and forth. You see, we have language, but we have an energy field around us all the time. And that energy field is giving us more information than language will ever give us. But we have not been able to pay attention to that because the world has talked us out of that, saying, oh, you couldn't have. I can't see it. There's no energy field around you. I'm telling you, there's an energy field around you. I take this class, this yoga class. The master said, even when you don't say something, Dallas, you attract attention to you. I know how to do it. I can always attract attention. I can walk into any room. I don't have to say a word. I can have everyone look at me in no time flat. I know how to do that. Because I send an energy out. I send an energy out. I'm not afraid to show my energy. I'm not afraid to be who I am. And I don't have to say a word. You have to learn to do that. Actors have to learn to do that. All the great actors know how to do that. I saw Helen Hayes once on the stage. As soon as Helen walked out on the stage, Helen only stood that tall, you know. She didn't have to say a word. She took over the whole stage and the whole audience just with her presence. Because she knew who she was. She liked herself. She knew she was worthy and deserving. And you can tell that every time in somebody. You can tell it every time. So if you're sitting there thinking that you don't have these qualities, get them. How do you get them? What did Shakespeare say? Assume a virtue if you have it not. Start assuming that that's true, and it will become true for you. Every quality that you want is inside of you. Remember the other day I said what you're looking for, you're looking with. That's what that means. We're always looking outside of ourselves for what this. People want love. Love is in here, not out there. Learn to love in here and all that love will come to you. Everything will come to you. Life is an inside job. It's always an inside job. So learn to love that part of you. And learn to love your body and what's going on in there. You know, you can figure out what's going on, you know. You can talk to every organ in your body. You can talk to everything that's going on in there. It doesn't, you know, to numb out and think, oh, well, my body's just running by itself and all this, that, and the other thing. No, 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 no. You can see all those things and talk to all those things. They're part of you. They are you. You think your brain is the only thing that's thinking? Ask a kidney that once. The kidney's thinking all the time. All your parts are thinking. And they'll all talk to you. They'll tell you what's going on. But we've been taught a Newtonian theory, haven't we? That doesn't happen because we're machines. The body's just a machine. The body is not just a machine. Look how wonderful your hands are. They cannot make a machine that can do what this hand can do. No way. Think of that. Think of all the wonderful things that you were brought here to this plane of action with. Already equipped for success. Already equipped for success. You have everything within you. Everything within you. Learn to use it. Okay? With that said, let's do a spiritual mind treatment. I know perfectly well that I am one with the only source in the universe, and that source is a source for good. And I happen to call that source God. And I like calling that source God because then that becomes personal to me. It's my best friend, that power, that source, that thing that I call God. And I know that that thing that I call God is completely prosperous and abundant and is more than willing to give me everything that I want to share, everything that God has. It gives God great pleasure to give me the kingdom. And I ask for it. I stamp my foot sometimes and say, I'm ready. Give it to me now. I can handle this. I know what I'm doing. I know perfectly well that I'm worthy, loving, and deservable. So bring it on. I am ready. So abundance flows to me. Prosperity flows to me. And money flows to me. And I let that be so, and so it is. Learn to think of God as your best friend. If you have a problem with that, think of it as a power. But don't have problems with this thing. Learn to use it. Learn to use it. Okay. Does anyone have any race mind alerts from Thanksgiving or anything? No.
Too much.
I was with some friends, and two of the people checked their blood sugar because they have diabetes. And one of my friends said, "Well, I always knew that I would get it because my mother had it.
Yes.
But she's controlling it with diet and exercise, so that's what it is."
My niece. I said, you need to watch, I'd like you to watch this DVD, and my nephew, and a nephew, their cousins, and they're 38 and 25, no, 28. So he's doing very well as far as his business and manifesting. He was very willing. She is talking about being broke and has a very good job. Talk about being broke and not having any money. Said, so, for, of course, she was sort of like watching The Secret and sort of like not even, I mean, part of her wanted to grab onto it, and that's all I wanted to do, introduce her to it. And so I said, well, you keep telling yourself you're going to be broke, you're just living your existence. That's exactly what you're saying. I'm broke many times, and you'll be broke, and you're living it. So, you might want to just watch this to see if there's some other way of thinking. And I left the room because I didn't, you know, I wanted them to get whatever they were going to get. And my nephew told me that she was like kind of talking to him about it. Like, and he's like, yeah, think about it. And maybe you should get this for yourself because the only person that's going to change it is you. And so it's very interesting to feel confident enough for me to just, okay, I'm going to put this out to you guys. I'm doing this teaching with Dallas, and it's very similar, and you can do it wherever you want. So, but she's, you know, saying I'm broke.
Never say you're broke. It's an out-and-out lie. It's an out-and-out lie. There is no way that anyone can be broke. I don't care what you tell me. If you point out a bum on the street and say that bum is broke, I can assure you that that bum can find a nickel somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that bum is not broke. When you say that you're broke, I'm sure you go through your couches, you will find money someplace. Have you ever put on a coat you haven't worn for a while and reached in and there was money? You are not broke, people. Never allow your mind to tell you that you are broke. Don't do that to yourselves, people. There's a completely different way to go through life than most people go through life. And you have chosen a different way to go through life. And that's what it's all about, choosing a different way to go through life. You don't have to go through life the way the rest of the world does. You don't have to go through life the way your parents went through life. That was their way to go through life. They had an example from somebody else. You don't have to go through life that way. You can go through life victorious. But you have to think about it and you have to change your mind about it. And with diabetes, yes, people develop diabetes. Diabetes can be controlled in many ways. You don't have to always take the pill. The main thing that is wrong with that and why that is a race mind, because they tell you that your parents had it and now you must get it, that it's carried in the genes. That's an out-and-out lie. That's changing all the time. Keep up with medicine, people. The doctors aren't going to do it because they don't have time. They're too busy practicing medicine to learn what's going on. The whole theory of genes is going to go down the tubes, people. It's going to go right down the tubes. We already know that we can change our DNA. We already know that the membrane of the cell is the brain of the cell and not the nucleus. This we know. It's just not taught in schools yet because they don't want to change the books. It would be too expensive to tell the truth. Let's keep doing the lie till those books fall apart and then we'll make some new ones for you. The gene theory will not hold up. It only holds up because it becomes a belief system. And belief systems always hold up. Whether a good belief system like your friend in Washington, Bush, always. It doesn't matter. You think I forget, don't you? I never forget. Belief systems, whether they're good or bad, always hold up. Because this universe loves you so much that you believe something, the universe will match you in that. The universe will not say, oh, I think that's a bad belief system. The universe says, oh, you want that belief system? I'll give you that belief system. You want you want sickness and disease, and you want to be broke, okay, that's your belief system. I'm going to give you that belief system. Why? Because the universe loves you so much that it always matches what you're doing. It never argues with you. It never tells you that you're wrong. It always says you're right. Now, what kind of a friend is that? Isn't that a wonderful friend to have that always says that you're right? But now that you know that that's the way it works, why don't you put in the right information? Why don't you say, I'm always rich, so that that comes back to you? Anything you put out there is going to come back to you. It's an energy field, people. It's an equation going on, and it's always going to come back to you. I often tell this story. If you want to know that if that's true, but I'm just saying that the universe always matches what you want, there's a great way to discover that, and it works on this plane of action, and it's here to show us that that's the way it works, but people ignore it. And what is that? Does anyone know what that is that always proves that? It's the echo. It's the echo. You yell out, I'm rich. Does it come back and say, no, you're poor? It echoes back, you're rich. I have health. I have health. It comes back to you. You see, when I said that you were brought here, on this plane of action, completely equipped with everything that you need for success and that everything is in you, it also, this thing that we call God, left hints all over the place, for goodness sakes. Left hints all over the place for you to say, oh, this is right. This is true. So, if... You know what works on one plane of action works on other planes of action. What goes on here on this universe goes in all universes. So if the echo works on this plane of action, the echo works throughout the universe and always comes back to you. So you learn to think differently so that it comes back to you.
We were talking yesterday about Florence Scovel's ship, and I said I'd just gotten a tape. So I listened to that all day today. I was listening to the person reading The Game of Life. And she talks about this, you know, the whole, that there are so many hints, lessons in the world, and she really quotes a lot of the Bible, the stuff that, of course, they don't tell us. And one of the things when you said we came here equipped for whatever it is we're here to do, she said the telephone came to Bell.
Yes.
Just like electricity came,
yes,
or the light bulb came, yes, to Edison.
All those ideas are out there, and they all come to people. Why do you think that when they were a radio, simultaneously, people got the idea for the radio? That's why Marconi, and we think it's Edison, but Edison and Marconi both came up with the radio at the same time. Why is that? Because we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God, and all ideas are in the mind of God. All creativity is in the mind of God. Everything is in the mind of God, and we live, move, and have our being in that mind of God. I cannot have an idea that you cannot have. And you cannot have an idea that I cannot have. There's only one mind, people. Only one mind. The mind of God. And we're using that mind. We're using that mind. And it's a powerful mind. And it knows so much. So don't limit yourself by the world, by science, by religion, or by any authority. There's always more. And there's always a different way. And there's always a third way. Open to that. And start to believe that. The movie industry is known for all that, whatever it's known for. And people start to believe that. You don't have to believe that. Let those people believe that. You send your spirit ahead, clear the way of all that stuff, and it'll work for you. And if they want to think all that needs to be done, let them. You see, that ego mind loves to say, oh, 18 hours you have to work, or it's no good, or this is sad, da 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 da, whatever it's doing. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Okay? Race mind is out there. Just observe it and learn to laugh at it and learn to see that you don't have to believe it. You do not have to believe it. This teaching boils down to one thing and one thing only. It is always done unto you as you believe. That's the essence of metaphysics. The essence of metaphysics. You don't have to read another book. You have to start knowing that, that it's always done unto you as you believe. So change your mind and look at it and say, what am I creating today? When I start to get upset and nervous and anxious and so forth, if I'm in the car and I think I'm going to be late, I calm myself right down and say, there is no way in hell I'm going to be late. And I calm myself down. I send my spirit out, and I arrive where I'm going. If traffic backs up, I say, ha ha, no, we cannot have this traffic. This is not in my world, this traffic. Too many red lights? I don't like red lights. I want green lights. I want green lights. I want green lights. We're doing everything to ourselves, people. Everything to ourselves. You see, you must become emotionally, mentally, and spiritually mature enough to stop blaming anybody or anything for anything. And don't blame yourself. I never blame myself for a thing. I never blame anybody else. I'd like to. Oh, it's tempting. But I don't do it. I don't do it. Because I know that it's not right. And it doesn't feel right. And I made up my mind years ago that if I was in this teaching, I was going to make this teaching work. And I can make this teaching work. So there. And it works. And if it works for me, it'll work for you. Okay. Tonight's topic. You thought I'd never get around to it. Tonight's topic is order. Order is the first law of heaven. It's always the first law. You must have order. Order in your life, order in your mind, order in your business. I worked for a lady once who said, you must put all your ducks in a row. The idea of order is this. Everything has an order on this plane of action. There were no fish before water. But so many people want a fish without the water. You have to have water first. You have to do something first. You have to put yourself in order. And then things will happen. But people don't do that. They want to skip something. They want to do something else. You get your life in order. You get your thinking in order. And everything else around you will fall into order. It will just fall into order. It's the way it's done. How many people here have a place for their keys? How many people here are always looking for their keys? That's not order. That's not order.
They have other people living in the house.
Yes, well, that's a tough one when other people are living in the house. But we can learn. But order, always get order in your life. And things will fall into place for you. But we don't do that. We think, oh, I don't have to do that. I can skip that step. But order is always the first law of heaven. So if you look around and you see disorder, straighten something up. Fix it. Fix things. Anytime an order comes in, the power comes along with it. Chaos will always be chaos. But you bring order to something, and you'll start feeling completely different. You just feel completely different when there's order. And your mind doesn't start all those little tricks and running around and so forth. You know, consciousness is like a slip. It shows. Yes. It always shows. If you get your consciousness in order, everything around you will fall into order. If you're living in chaos or you're living in any type of disorder, everything around you will be in disorder. And that's an awful way to go through life. And a lot of people think that that's a great way to go through life. They think that that gives life meaning and so forth. But then they wonder why they're always tense. They wonder why they're always anxious and nervous and all that. Why they're irritable, yelling, and screaming. Because they're not in order. They're not in order. Order also means not only the first law of heaven, but in your life, when you want something, get your ducks in a row. Get into order. And then what you want will manifest itself. It will manifest itself. Many people don't manifest things because they're so disorganized. You know, I gave a talk years ago called Plant a Radish, Get a Radish Every Time from the Fantastics. And that's what you do with any treatment work. Once you plant that, you have to then let that progress in an orderly fashion, knowing that that seed will produce like itself. You see, if you plant a radish, you don't get a turnip. You get a radish. So when you're doing a treatment, plant the right seed, and that seed will bear the fruit that you want. But many people plant the wrong seed, or they think that the seed they are planting is going to produce something other than what it can produce. It can only produce like itself. Thoughts can only produce like themselves. The same thought always produces the same result. But yet people keep thinking the same thought over again, thinking this time it'll change. Things will change. It'll be different. It won't be different. The same
definition of insanity, to think that you'll get a different result by doing the exact same thing.
That's it. Which is disorder. Which is disorder. So get order in your mind. Get disciplined of your mind. And things will go. You see? The story of Genesis and the way that God created this earth is a wonderful example of order and a logical way to do things. One followed the other. By the way, does anyone know that there are two versions of Genesis in the Bible? Well, there are people. There are two. One's called the long version, one's called the short version. And both of them are Babylonian myths, by the way. They have nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. But they're thrown in. Just thought I'd bring that up. The Bible's loaded with doubles. They're called... not duplicates. They're called doublets. They're called doublets is what they're called. Because the same story will appear twice, told in a different way. And they're called doublets. Does anyone know why they're called doublets or why two different stories are told of the same thing?
Just to get the point across?
No. Because at one time the Bible, there were two Bibles, the Northern Bible and the Southern Bible, and they wanted to unite the country, so they had to put the two books together. And the South said, well, if you give me this, we have to have that, and our story goes this way, and my story your story goes that way. So they decided to make doublets, and they put them in the Bible. That's why, and I could get the two, the North and the South, confused here, but it doesn't matter. In the North, we'll say, there was always what? Abraham. But in the South, there was Abraham and Aaron, because Aaron was the big boy in the South. So they had to make two stories and include Aaron in one of them. So the South would say, okay, now you can put the book together. Learn to look at these things. That's a very easy thing to find out, by the way. It's from and that's in paperback now. And the title of that book is called Who Wrote the Bible? It's called Who Wrote the Bible? And it's an easy reading. It's not a scholarly piece. But it will tell you all the different things. And who wrote, how many people they know really wrote the Bible. only five, they think, or maybe it was only four. And then they had what they called a redactor. And a redactor is like an editor. And he came in and then edited the stories. So you can see that things were left out. I'm never putting the Bible down, by the way, because the Bible can be read on many levels, and it's been around for so long that it has taken on a power all of its own. And it probably calibrates at a very high energy level, probably 700, by the way. It probably calibrates about 700. Most people calibrate below 200, which is barely breathing, by the way. Yeah. It's true. That's why we have the difficulties we have. Everything is energy, and everything is sending out something. Everything is calibrating at an energy level. And if you want, you have to learn to calibrate with what you want. You have to learn to meet the energy of what you want. If you want money, you have to learn where is that vibration, and can I raise myself to that vibration? As soon as you raise yourself to any vibration, you will get what you want. It has to come to you because you're on the same vibrational field. You're saying very easy for to understand that, by the way. If you're watching channel 2, what happened to channel 4? Still there, isn't it?
But it's not tuned in.
It's not tuned in. It's not calibrating right now. It's your the one you want. But it's still there. So once you turn to that calibration, you'll get what you want. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Anyway, order. Get order in your life. Because order is the first law of heaven. It will always be that way. All successful people have order in their life. And if they can't do it themselves, they hire people to do it for them. Big corporations are in order. They know where things are. They know where things are. Biggest organization that doesn't know where anything is not a corporation, it's a bureaucracy, and it's called the government. But the government will never know where anything is because the government does not work with order. Hence, if it's the first law of heaven and government is not observing that order, what do you think it's calibrating at? I won't tell you. No, that's true. They can't find things. The government cannot find anything. You know, ask them where their cars are. They don't know. They lose cars all the time because no one knows where they are. People just, they just go. It's like hammers, I think. They never can keep track of a. They can't keep track of a hammer either. Anyway, the whole idea to success in life is order, is orderly thinking, is having a place for everything and putting everything in its place. And your life will smooth itself right out and you'll have a wonderful life. So think about that. Look around your environment and see what you can put into order. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.